the book of Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, the word of God says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. So, if you've been sowing already to yourself, you've been walking that righteousness covenant, keep sowing to yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Understand there's sufficient mercy available for all of God's people. Is that scripture that I think Pastor Tinu sang that little hymn earlier today, great is thy faithfulness. But in that scripture, in Lamentations, the first part of it is, he said, it is because of your mercies that we are not consumed. And then he says, great is your faithfulness. Your mercies are new every morning. And great is your faithfulness. I think that's Lamentations chapter 3 or something. Great is your faithfulness. Your mercies are new every morning. He said to reap in mercy. It's one of the reasons I like that song they sang. Reap in mercy. Reap in mercy. Hallelujah. I remember one time the Lord said to me, I'm not moved by your mess. I'm moved by my mercy. I'm not moved by your mess. I'm moved by my mercy. So to yourselves. So no matter the mess that Satan creates around you, that doesn't move God. The mess you see in the world is not what moves God. What moves God is his mercy. His mercy unto you is new every morning. That's why the Bible said in Psalm 102 verse 13, he said, you will arise and you will have mercy upon Zion. Yes. Why? He said, because the time to favor her, yea, the set time. See, it is not your mess that causes God to arise and favor you. It is his mercy. It is not your mess. It is his mercy. The Lord said, I'm not moved by the mess of the people. I'm moved by my mercy. Somebody say with me, God is moved by his mercy for me. Say it again, God is moved by his mercy for me. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. Every ground uncultivated around your life, break it up. Break it up. Every ground that has not produced fruit, break it up. Break it up. The Amplifier said, break up. He said, break up the uncultivated ground. Break up your uncultivated ground. The ground that has not brought forth fruit yet, break it up. And declare that the favor reign of God is coming upon it. He said in the Amplified, for it is time to seek the Lord, to inquire for and to inquire of him and to require his favor. Break up your uncultivated ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, to inquire for the Lord, to inquire of the Lord and to require his favor until he comes and teaches you righteousness and rains his righteous gift of salvation upon you. Rains upon you. Of course, just a couple of chapters back in Hosea chapter 6 verse 3, he said, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Remember that Hosea 10:12, he said, for it is time you sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain down righteousness upon you, he said. Here he says, then shall we know if we follow on. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is already prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. He shall come to us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. Of course, I love it because the Bible says that the favor of God is like the cloud that brings the spring rain. Proverbs 16:15, I believe that is. The cloud, it says, it's the favor of God is like the cloud that brings the spring rain. Let me tell you something that I know in my heart, in my spirit, very clearly without any iota of doubt. And I know for sure I'm a servant of God. The Lord will rain upon you. He will rain upon you so much, you will almost forget your name. The Lord will rain upon you, so you will almost forget your name. That's why he's called, he says he will come like the rain. Amen. It's not drops, it's not little droplets, little things. No. He will rain upon you. Amen. God will rain upon you. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 God will rain upon you. Amen. There's a reason the Lord is having me declare this word to you. The Lord will rain upon you. Amen. That's why I love now. Now you understand why I love that song they were singing. He's dancing in the rain. Amen. In the rain of his favor. God will rain upon you. You will forget your name. That is, there will be so much favor on your life. You will hardly recognize yourself. There will be so much favor on your life. You will hardly recognize yourself. You will hardly recognize yourself. You see that he said in Proverbs 16, in 16 and verse 15, in the Amplified, it says, in the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud bringing the spring rain. His favor is as a cloud bringing the spring rain. That spring rain is already falling on you today. That spring rain is already coming down. The showers of God's blessings are already soaking us up, soaking us up, soaking us up. I said something on Wednesday. I want to say it again. I said it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because I did not think of it before that teaching service on Wednesday. And I want to say it again, because after I heard myself saying it, I went and wrote it down, because I know it was inspirational directly from the Holy Spirit. And after quoting all of these scriptures on the favor of God, I remember saying, even in the pit, the favor of God was working for Joseph. Amen. Even in the pit. I want you to know, even in the pit, even in the prison, the favor of God is working for you. Amen. The favor of God is working for you. Amen. Even when they took the coat of many colors drenched in the blood of animals and took it back to his father and told him, your son is dead. Even then, the favor of God was working for Joseph. Amen. Even then. Satan doesn't want you to know. There is so much favor prepared for you. The Bible says he's going forth is already prepared. There's so much favor prepared for you. We've just got to enter into it. We just have to lay hold upon it. We just got to demand it. It is ours. And then he told us in Zechariah 10:1, he said, ask for the rain in the time of the... Look at it. Ask for the rain. So, and that word ask there is not beg for, it's demand it. Ask for that rain in the time of the latter rain So the Lord will make bright clouds and he will give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. The Lord will make, he will make bright clouds. He will make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. What the Lord is having us do is take charge over this season. Is to take control over this season. Get out of our mind. Get out of our circumstances. Get out of what we are seeing on TV. Get out of all the evil report and all the negativity. And insist that what the Lord spoke is so in my life. Whatever the Lord said is so in my life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The favor of God is working for you. I said the favor of God is working for you. Your life will never be the same again. There is turnaround coming in your direction. There is supernatural uprising arising for you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everywhere you turn, there will be favor, 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 favor. It's working. It's working. Is working. The favor of God is working. Whatever you need in this season, the favor of God will produce it in the name of Jesus. The favor of God will cause your earth, your land to bring forth. The favor of God will make your land cultivated again. The favor of God will make the barrenness change and bring fruitfulness. The favor of God will bring grass in the field. The favor of God will bring the glory of heaven upon your life and your family. In the name of Jesus. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Better be careful. It's not just because of the pandemic. Everywhere you go, tell people, say, be careful how you touch me. There's favor oozing out of me. Be careful. If you don't want favor, be careful how you touch me. There's favor oozing out of my life. There's favor oozing out of my life. God is turning things. He's changing things. He's reversing things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The enemy will cry because of the favor of God that will be manifest on your life shortly. You will not be the one crying. Your enemy will be the one crying as a result of the favor of God that will manifest on your life shortly in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right. Just one last verse here. Just one last verse. The very, very first scripture that the Lord gave us in the month of May on this favor declaration, he gave us John chapter 1 verse 16. In the Amplified. John chapter 1 verse 16. In the Amplified Bible. He said, for out of his fullness, out of his abundance, we have all received. We have all had a share. And we were supplied with one grace after another. Spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. And even favor upon favor. And gift heaped upon gift. Lord God, have mercy. Gift heaped upon gift. Gift heaped upon gift. One spiritual blessing after another. One grace after another. Spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. Favor upon favor. And gift heaped upon gift. Gift heaped upon gift. The rain of heaven will make it happen for you. I said the rain of heaven will make it happen for you. In the name of Jesus. Wherever you are right now under the sound of my voice, you are remote or wherever you are, wherever you are, wherever you are, put your hand as a point of contact. Put it on a part of your body right now. In the name of Jesus, I declare to you gift heaped upon gift right now. I declare to you gift heaped upon gift right now. In the name of Jesus, if I heard the Lord right, and I did, I declare to you right now, gift heaped upon gift. You will come back rejoicing. You will come back dancing in the rain. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Jesus will have the final say in your life. Jesus will have the final say in your situation. The world will gather together and dance with you. The world will gather together and rejoice with you. Thank you, Father. Lord, we receive it. We thank you so much. We receive it, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. All right. Good. Hold on to that word. You might see me do it again next week. I don't know. I just go with the flow of the Holy Spirit here. Amen. All right. I want us to get into the Word of God. And I want us to continue. We have some time here to press forward. We're almost done with this series we've been doing for about 2 months now. It's titled The Predetermined Particulars of Your Purpose on Earth. The Predetermined Particulars of Your Purpose on Earth. We have already identified 7 of these areas of the fulfillment of our purpose. And out of these 7, we have already discussed 6. And for time's sake, we have cut some. For, you know, scheduling's sake, we have slashed some, and that's all good. I believe that the Lord's helped us talk about some of the most important things in this series of lessons. What I would like to do by the grace of God is just to wrap it up. One service, maybe next week, and probably the last service of May. Kind of just go over everything, because it's so much material. So, and you know, we've gone over 2 months now talking about this. I want to just give a couple of services to bring it together and just wrap it up so that it's well established within our spirit. Amen. But the 7 areas through which we fulfill the predetermined particulars of our purpose. Number 1, we said, give your life to Christ and make him the center of your life. Cultivate consistent fellowship with God the Father. That's the first way to fulfill purpose. Isn't that interesting though? This is the one I have not talked about yet. It's the first one, but it's the one we haven't discussed yet. This is the door opener to everything else. It is the most important. If you don't have this one, you don't have any other way. If you don't fulfill your purpose in this area, you can't fulfill your purpose. I don't care how much you are working for the Lord. If your life, you have not given your life to Christ, is not the center of your life, all of that is just wasted energy. I don't care how much you are giving, supporting the work of the kingdom of God. If you have not given your life to Christ, all of that is a waste. I don't care how beautiful, how lovely your family is. If you have not given your life to Christ, it's just a waste of time. And on like that. So the very first way, and I'm going to give some time to talking about that in the few minutes that I have today, and try to give as much material as I can give there. Trust the Holy Spirit to help us. And then next week, I'm going to try to wrap everything up. So the first way we fulfill purpose, give your life to Christ, make him the center of your life, cultivate consistent fellowship with God the Father. Number 2, make Jesus your Lord and Master. Give him the preeminence in all areas of your life. Make Jesus your Lord and your Master. Give him the preeminence in all areas of your life. Somebody say, isn't that the same thing? I give my life to Christ. Isn't he already? Then doesn't that mean I've already made him Lord? Well, you and I have already studied that now, right? You can call Jesus Savior, but he may not be Lord. The fact that you call Jesus Savior does not mean he's Lord. And in that service, I think it was 2 weeks ago before Mother's Day. That was such a wonderful Mother's Day service we had last Sunday. Pastor Tinu, thank you for blessing us with that powerful word. Amen. Amen. Such a powerful word. Amen. But in that service before Mother's Day, I know that one of the things that we said about the Lordship of Jesus is the one thing that anchors your life in the promises of God is the Lordship of Christ. The one thing that anchors your life in the promises of God. We can't keep saying no to the Lord and expect him to say yes to us. So we've learned a lot about this. Just accepting Christ into your life doesn't mean he's Lord and Savior. He becomes Lord when we take up our cross, deny ourselves, and we follow him. And every time Jesus says yes, we say yes, Lord. Every time Jesus say no, we say yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So make Jesus your Lord and Master. Give him the preeminence in all areas of your life. Number three, find your place of service and calling in the body of Christ and devote yourself to it. We've already talked about this. Kingdom addicts. It's one of the ways in which we fulfill our purpose is to find your place of service and calling in the body of Christ and devote yourself to it. It's not only the pastor who is preaching that is called. It's not only the people on TV that are preaching every day that are called. No, we are all called. Everyone in the body of Christ is called. Our callings are different, but we are called. And it is in all of us fulfilling our callings together, all of us responding to God and doing the things that God has called us to do, that makes the kingdom of God move forward. The preacher by himself, the evangelist by himself, by herself, the pastor by themselves, the prophet, they can't move the kingdom of God forward. It is all of us fulfilling our calling in Christ that makes the kingdom of God move forward. So find your place of service and calling in the body of Christ and devote yourself to it. Number four, find God's purpose for your life's vocation and commit to it. We've talked extensively about that. You have two careers in life. You have kingdom career and you have a secular career. Your secular career is your life's vocation. God will increase you. He will prosper you through your life's vocation. Work is not a smelly word. Hallelujah. Work is a good word. The Bible says after God himself worked for 6 days, then he rested. But he didn't qualify to rest until he walked. Amen. Number five, do your part and pay your vows. Support the kingdom of God financially in whichever ways and wherever you and God deem appropriate. Wow, we talked extensively about this. Amen. Number six, do your part in preparing for the Lord's return. Get ready for Jesus' second coming. Yeah. Amen. Oh, we talked extensively about this. How we get ready for the Lord's return. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And finally, number seven, make your family and your close natural relationships a reflection of God's family in heaven. Cultivate the culture of heaven and foster love, joy, and peace and a balanced and healthy family life. Amen. These are the ways in which we fulfill our purpose on earth. These are the seven ways in which we fulfill God's purpose on our lives on earth. Today, I want to take the first one, the most important one, because this is the one that makes everyone else possible. This is the one that opens the door for us to actually be able to fulfill our purpose in all of those other areas that the Lord has ordained for us. If we don't do this one, everything else is just a waste of time. Amen. This is the most important one. And somebody said, but why did you leave that? Why didn't you just go number one, number two, number three? Well, because I believe the Lord wanted us to talk about all of these other ones as important as they are. but then bring our attention back to the most important one and put the light on it. Because most people that I'm speaking with today in this service, whether those that are here with us in this sanctuary or those that are online with us, most of you are born again. Most of you are believers. Most of you are saved already. I don't believe I'm talking to a whole bunch of unbelievers who tuned in today. But I believe the Lord wants us to see a few things, even in that area of being saved, how it relates with fulfilling the purpose of God for our lives, understanding it, because many times we don't understand it. We don't understand the real crux of our salvation. We know we are saved, praise God, we're delivered from sin, we're delivered from hell, we are going to heaven. Amen. We know we have the Lord, the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. Jesus is our Savior. Praise God, is our Lord. Yes, awesome. But there's the real crux of it. The real crux of it. Somebody used to say, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. I like it. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. I really like that. The real crux. Or a robot several years ago used to say this. He says, with God, in everything in life, there is a key issue. That's Or a robot. There is a key issue. He says, for many years, I didn't understand it. I read it, I hear it, and I'm thinking, what is he talking about? I just couldn't get it. But in God's mercy and in God's grace, over the years, I started to come into understanding of what Oral Roberts used to say. He used to say, in everything in life, there is a key issue. He said, find the key issue and you will prosper. In everything in life, there is a key issue. And for so long, for the longest, I didn't get it. But after a while, in God's mercy, I started to understand it. Yes, okay, that's true. In everything in life, there is a key issue. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I found out where finances are concerned, there is a key issue. I found out where relationships are concerned, there is a key issue. I found out where ministry is concerned, there is a key issue. I found out where soundness of health, healthy living is concerned, there is a key issue. There is a key issue to everything in life. Find the key issue and you will prosper. Find the key issue and you will prosper. Well, there is a key issue to our salvation. Find the key issue and you will prosper. Go with me real quickly now. Let's try to run a little bit. I've got to move on quickly. Go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Let's read from verse 1 down to, I think, verse 8 or verse 7. Isaiah 43. What is the one thing we're studying today? The way this aspect of fulfilling our God-given purpose is give your life to Christ, make him the center of your life, cultivate consistent fellowship with God the Father through the Holy Spirit. Let me read this again. Give your life to Christ. There's a lot of people who stop right there. Give your life to Christ. Make him the center of your life. Cultivate consistent fellowship with God the Father through the Holy Spirit. Let's read from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. And in my Bible, I put my name where it says Jacob. You should do the same. And he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Notice, those two words are two different words. Thus saith the Lord that created you, O Jacob, or O Coyote, and he that formed you, O Israel, fear not. O Coyote, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. There's so many words at play in that scripture. I want you to read it one more time because I'm sure you've read this over and over again, but I don't know that it's ever stood out to you like this. But now thus saith the Lord that created you, put your name there, and he that formed you, creating you and forming you are two different things. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Creating you, forming you, redeeming you are three different things. I have called you, creating you, forming you, redeeming you, calling you are four different things. You are mine. See, there are many believers who jump from I have created you to you are mine. See, they jump from now thus says the Lord that created you, oh, put your name there. They leave everything else there and they go all the way to you are mine. Because you are mine means I'm a precious jewel in the sight of God. It means God is jealous over me, over you. The Bible even tells us in Zechariah, I think it's chapter 2, verse 8, it says, we are like the apple of his eyes. Doesn't he say that? We are like that. He said, whoever touches you, touches the apple of my eye. Yes. Hallelujah. We are so precious in the sight of God. Every believer is. Every believer is. We are so precious in the sight of God. You see, part of how he expresses how precious we are to him in this scripture right here. He talks about we are so precious, he will give up things for us. He will give up people for us. We are so precious to him that if it comes to it, he will let others be sacrificed so that our lives are preserved. We're so precious to him, he said. However, notice he said, I created you, but he didn't jump from I created you to you are mine. He said, I created you, I formed you, I redeemed you, I called you by your name, and you are mine. Then in verse 2 he says, because you are mine, you are that precious to me. Oh, hallelujah. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, notice all of this, he's saying when. He didn't say if, when. So my friends, walking through the fire is a guarantee. Going through rivers in life is a guarantee. Walking through fire is a guarantee. But the Lord also guarantees that because you are his, you will never walk through it alone. You will never. And he said, when you walk through those waters, look at what he said. When you pass through the water, I will be there with you. When you go through the rivers, they will not overflow you. They will not overwhelm you. You will not drown in the rivers of life. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Have you heard the story of these three Hebrew boys who actually went into the fire? And the Bible says when they came out of the fire, there was no smell of the fire on them. Not even a smell. Do you know you can go through something and you can come out and there is no smell of it on you? Like some one songwriter said, I don't look like what I've been through.
Yes.
Amen. I don't look like what I've been through. Amen. You can go through the valley of the shadow of death. And when you come out on the other side, the only thing people can see on you is life.
Amen. Glory.
The only thing people can see is life. Amen. You see why? Because he said, because you are mine. You and I, we're going to walk through it together.
Hallelujah.
I won't leave you by yourself. I won't let you go through all of that. But no, you are mine. We are going to go through it together. I remember, if I go through water, water can drown me. If I go through fire, fire can burn me. So because you and I are together, we are joined together in this partnership. Whatsoever happens to you in life, your life is secure. I will bring you out on the other side. In fact, when I bring you out on the other side, you will be better. You will be so good that people will want to experience what you just experienced. Why? Because you are mine. You are precious to me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for you. You know he did that, don't you? I gave Ethiopia and Seba for you. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honorable, and I have loved you. Oh, Jesus. This is the greatest revelation any believer can have in their life. God loves me. God loves me. Boy, I discovered that decades ago. I found out God loves me. God loves me. It's not subject to argument. It's not subject to debate. It's not subject to controversy. God loves me. God loves you. Say that with me. Say, God loves me. Say, God loves me. Oh man. Every time when you wake up in the morning and you're doing your thing in your bathroom, freshening up, getting ready to go, you look at yourself in the mirror. I know you are checking out your this, your that, and that. You know what? Eyeball yourself. Say, God loves me. God loves me. It's one of the greatest revelations any believer can have. Hallelujah. I have loved you, he said. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east, and I will gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give up. They have to give it up. They have to give it up. That's why as a child of God, you must prosper on this earth. You must. I don't care how long it takes. You must prosper. Because he will speak to the north, give it up. What belongs to her, give it up. What belongs to him, give it up. I will say to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Watch this now. Watch verse 7. This is where I want to take you. This is a summary of everything we read so far. For everyone that is called by my name, for I have created them for my glory. I have formed them, yea, I have made them. Do you see the similarity between verse 7 and verse 1 and 2? Notice it again. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him or her. Yea, I have made him. Or a robot used to say, in everything in life, there is a key issue. Find the key issue and you will prosper. Look at that verse 7. It says, I have created them. The word create is a Hebrew word that means to birth something. It's to birth something. To bring something out of nothing. To create it. So when God started, he created you and he created me. He created us. He birthed us out of nothing. He is our origin. So I want you to see why it is so important what we're talking about this morning. This last aspect, which is actually the first most important aspect of fulfilling our purpose. This is what we are talking here today. He created every human being that you and I see. God created them. We are all created by the Father. Then he said, I created them for my, created him for my glory. Then he said, I have formed him and I have made him. And of course, in the earlier part of the scripture, he says, I've called them by my name. The word create means to birth out of nothing. Originate, initiate. So the first thing the Lord did was he created us. The second thing he did was he formed us. To form something is to fashion it. To fashion it. So God created all of us. We were all created. All of us. Same. Created by him. And then he formed us. He fashioned us. What does that mean? What does it mean to fashion something? It means to put it into a shape, into a form. When you fashion an outfit, you cut it some way. There's some you cut one way, the other way, but you make it into a shape. So every human being has a peculiar form. A peculiar form. Many times we describe some of that as our ethnicity. Some of that we describe as our personality. Some of that we describe as our physical makeup. He formed us. He fashioned us. He brought us into being and then he formed us. You notice you are different. Even in the same family, people are different. Even twins who came out the same day from the same womb, different. Why? Because we are formed differently. We are fashioned differently. So I want you to notice, none of that depends on you. God's creation of you doesn't depend on you. God's fashioning of you doesn't depend on you. I want you though to look at the third one. He said, I have called you by my name. Calling us by his name depends on us. This is the one thing that depends on us. He created all human beings different. He formed us and fashioned us different. But calling us by his name depends on us. Because when God calls you, the word call there is the word kara. Q-A-R-A in the Hebrew. But in the New Testament, when you find the word church, is the Greek word ecclesia. It means the called out ones. This is the one that determines the future that we have in God. This is what determines how our lives play out. Our response to his call. What does it mean to be called? It means out of all these people he created, out of all these people he fashioned, he started calling them. Hey, Bill. Hey, Janet. Hey, Chica. Hey, Emmanuel. He started calling. Hey, Coyote. He started calling. But guess what? Hey, Zini. No, let's call it Ezine. Hey, Tinu. Hey, Chizaram. Hey, Noel. Dubem. Hey! Come it! Sorry, our visitors today, you are, they'll tell me your name afterwards so I can put you in my message next time. Like, Ken! Hey, Ken! And what are your children's names?
Victoria.
Sarah.
Sarah.
Elizabeth. God called all of you. Amen. You know what made the difference? You know how we became the church? Because when he called Bill came. He said, yes, Lord. Say, yes, Lord. Here I am, Lord. When he called Chidubem said, yes, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Now, he could have called, maybe standing right next to Bill, maybe there was Sam. And he said, Bill! And Bill said, yes, Lord. And then he said, Sam! And said, oh, forget you, I don't care about you. Guess what? Bill became the church. The called out ones. Sam continued in the world. For every one of us, I'll never forget when the Lord called me when I gave my life to Christ. Oh, mama. I mean, I went from a dance floor on Saturday night to Sunday morning, crawling to the altar with tears in my eyes. And then looking around, seeing, man, this is embarrassing. Why am I the only person standing here and crying? And it was for real. Hallelujah. But that day, I became one of the called out ones. The church. Hallelujah. The church. Hallelujah. You one day when he called you and you say, yes, Lord, here I am. It wasn't because of your father. It wasn't because of your mother. It wasn't because of your friend. It wasn't, yeah, they may have played some role in guiding you, in influencing you. But one day you had to say, Lord, yes, here I am. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. And the day you responded to the Lord, you became the church. You became the called out ones. You became the called out ones. Say that I called by my name. And then, after he called us, he made us. He made us. Notice, everyone that I called by my name, I created for my glory. I formed them. I made them. He created us. He formed us. He fashioned us. Then he called us. And when he called us, because we said, yes, Lord, and we came to him, then he made us. He made us. The word made is a word asa, A-S-A-H. It means to produce glory. It means to produce something out of it. To produce. You see, he created you for his glory. Every human being was created for his glory. But the ones who became the called, the ones who responded to the call of God, God is able to bring glory out of their lives. He makes them. He makes them. And you see, that's why he said, I made you. Because it's a process. It's a journey. He makes you as you go. Sometimes as he's making you, it's a struggle. Sometimes as he's making you, you fall, you trip over. But he picks you up again. He keeps making you. He keeps making you until he produces glory out of your life. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to look at Romans 8 real quickly. Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 28 real quick. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. He says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Watch this now, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be, Jesus might be, the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah! Who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely, freely give us all things? Freely, freely give us all things. Freely, freely he predestinated, he called, he justified, he glorified. I want you to see here that after we became called, we made the most important decision of our lives ever. When you accept Jesus into your life as your Savior, you make the most important decision of your life ever. Because that is the open door. You are saying to the Lord, yes, Lord, here I am. Come in. Come into my heart. Do whatever. Do whatever you want to do. Do you know there's so many hearts the Lord knocks on and they turn him away? But when we open up our hearts, he says, Lord, come and be my Savior. And we give him access and the Holy Spirit comes into us. Then the work begins. The work of making us into his glory. The work of making us who he originally created us and destined us to be. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 is one of the most important scriptures there. In the book of Revelations, the Lord said, I stand at the door and I knock. I stand at the door and I knock. Right? And if anyone hears my voice and open the door, watch this now. We have to open the door for him to come in. He said that when you open the door, I will come in and I will sup with him. And I will dine with him. So as far as the Lord is concerned, this is going to be an amazing fellowship. Now, for us, sometimes it feels really tough. Like it's like, Lord, this is a struggle. This is tough. This is, I know, God, no, we're having fun. This is, we're just having fun, son. But you are feeling, Lord, some part of this journey is a little tough. The Lord said, don't worry about it. We're just having fun. We're just cool. We're just dining and supping together. And what happens is when we open the door of our hearts and Jesus comes in, then he makes us. He makes us. He's the one who makes us. He's the one who makes us. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. He makes us out of weaklings. He makes us strong. Confused people who didn't know what they were doing, he makes us. He makes us confident. He gives us light. People who didn't know their left from their right, he gives them direction. He makes us. He makes us. He makes us victorious. People who have lost every single fight, who have lost every single confidence, he makes us. The Bible says, thanks be unto God who makes us to triumph in everything in Christ Jesus. He makes us. He makes our way prosperous. He makes us the beloved of God. He makes us the blessed in life. He makes us. When we open that door the first time and he comes in, he begins the process of making us. This is why giving our lives to Christ is so important. But giving our lives to Christ without the key issue the most important aspect of our relationship with God, we are saved, but we are not made. You can give your life to Christ and you get saved. But being saved and then not having this supping and dining that the Lord wants to do, this interaction and this fellowship and this ongoing journey. Yeah, we're saved, but we're not made. We're not made. Do you know, you can be saved for 40 years and never take the first step to be made. Because we're not supping and dining, fellowshipping with him. You know, the key issue after we are saved, it's not just to have a bumper sticker that says, I go to church. Since I'm saved. No. It's to get in a relationship with him. It's to cultivate a relationship with him. Like they did in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve didn't have to go through any hoops. They were created. They were formed. They were called, and then they just needed to, every time the Father came in the garden, just worship, relate with him, fellowship with him, every day. Talk to him. Listen to him. Sit at his feet. And in the New Testament, he gave us the Holy Spirit. He said that the Holy Spirit will be with us forever. And the Holy Spirit comes inside the believer is to fellowship with us. Is to sup and to dine with us. The Holy Spirit will speak to us and we will speak with him. We'll speak with the Father through him. That's why that thing we call the grace. We share the grace. You remember what we call sharing the grace in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14. That really is that's the process, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship, sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We've accepted him as our Savior. Now we walk in the love of God. We commune with the Holy Spirit every day. We fellowship with him. Let me tell you some of the things that have to happen when we do this. Because we are saved. We have a new relationship with God. There has to be personal devotion, personal worship, personal fellowship with God regularly. Like someone you are walking with. There has to be fidelity and a commitment to his word daily. Daily. So you hear him and you trust him and you believe his word and you obey his word every day. Every day. There has to be practicing his presence. Sometimes you're driving and you're just talking to the Holy Spirit. You're just talking to the Father through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you are at home and you are just interacting with him. Something comes into your heart and you start. It's not like designated time of praying. It's fellowship. Fellowship. All of these things constitute an advantage that allow the Lord to make us. Let's read a couple more scriptures before I close this out today. Go with me to 1 Peter 2 and look at verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 1. Are you tired already?
No.
Don't get tired, wait. Let's get the most important one here now. Don't get tired. I want you to get this. I want you to see this. We're going to close by one. By one. Amen. Somebody say amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. Look at it real quick. It says, wherefore, therefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. What does it say then? As newborn babes, do what?
Desire
the what? The sincere milk of the word that we may what? That we may grow thereby. We can grow in God without the word. Without the milk of the word, we can't grow in Christ. No believer can grow without the word. You can't grow without the word. As newborn babes, do you know there are millions and millions and millions of believers. They are saved and they have the bumper sticker. But do you know they don't even have the milk of the word? They don't read that word. They don't hear God's voice. They don't have a fidelity and a commitment to the word of God. Like on a regular basis. See what it says in verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past you were not a people, verse 10, but now you are the people of God. You had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Yes, yes, you are a peculiar people. You are a holy nation, royal priesthood, but desire the sincere milk of the word. You're not going to do great as a Christian. Just putting on the title of a Christian. I'm a child, praise God, you are there. But how he makes you through his word.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Through fellowshipping with him.
Amen.
To talking to him every day. Sharing with him. In the same boat as you journey together in life.
Yes.
It's how he makes us.
Amen.
It's how we fulfill our destiny. One last scripture. This is our last one. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Herein in this scripture is one of the biggest revelations of why many in the body of Christ really prosper and thrive and do well in their spiritual walk. And many others are stagnated. Right here. Luke chapter 10. And verse 38. It came to pass that as they went, he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Notice, she opened the door. He came in. She wasn't like the general Joe and Sam and Elizabeth on the street who he knocked and they said, No, she let him in. She said, come into my house, Lord. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. The Amplified says, she was sitting herself at the Lord's feet and listening to his teaching. Verse 40, the Amplified says, but Martha, someone say but. Martha. Let's say those two words again. But. Martha. Why did the Bible say that? After telling us about Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus when Jesus came into the house. This is like two believers now. The Lord knocked on both doors and said, yeah, come in, Lord. Both of them said, come in. But when the Lord came in, one of them sat at his feet. He says, speak, Lord, talk. I'll do whatever you say, follow you. The other one, say those two words again, but Martha. Say it again, but Martha. Notice, Martha was older. Martha actually was the owner of the house. But the reason the Bible says, but Martha, is because Martha had a lost priority. She had a lost focus. Let's read this from the Amplified. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy. Overly occupied. Too busy. Busy doing what? Not doing wrong. She wasn't busy doing the devil's business. No. What was she doing? She was busy serving the Lord. She was fulfilling purpose by serving the Lord. She was cooking dinner. She was getting ready to make the Lord happy. She was playing her part to support the Lord's welfare and the Lord's dinner. I mean, Martha wasn't doing something wrong or something bad. But the Bible says she was overly occupied and too busy. And she was distracted with much serving. She was distracted with much serving. Watch this now. And then she came up to the Lord. And she said, Lord. See, this is what tells you here. Martha is not being made. Because if she had been sitting at the foot of Jesus, listening to what Jesus was saying, paying attention and acting accordingly, she would not have become so offended. She became offended at her sister. And at the Lord, too, plus Jesus. She was not just offended at Mary. She was now offended at Jesus. She said, Lord, is it nothing to you? Check this out now. Is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? See all the me's there? My sister left me to serve alone by myself? And she just sitting there at your feet doing nothing? And she said, she's going to tell him what to do now. She's going to command Jesus. Hello? She's not just upset. She's not just offended. She actually has a revelation for Jesus. You have to remember, she owns the house. She's the older sister. And Jesus is the guest. So, she might as well tell him. Give him a piece of her mind. Look at what she said. She didn't even say, Lord, what do you think about this? She said, is it nothing to you? Don't you think this is right? Here I am, you can see me going in and out of the kitchen. I'm not cooking for myself. This food is not for me. It's for you. It's for all of us to eat. You are the only guest here. If you didn't come, I will not bother. If there is no food in this house, who cares? But because of you. It's because of you, Lord. See all this back and forth I'm doing. You can see me going back and forth, carrying this, carrying that. You see, you guys are sitting there feeling cool in the living room. You are talking and Mary is listening. You can see Martha is not made. She's not being made. The reason she's not being made is because she is saved. But her priority is misplaced. She wasn't saying Jesus is not Lord. For her, Jesus is Lord. If you ask her, is Jesus Lord? She says, yeah, Jesus is Lord. She believed in the Lord. But her priority, just go close. Lord, can you tell her to help me? That is, tell her to stop doing what she's doing, sitting down there listening to you. Tell her to help me, to lend me a hand, and do her part along with me. I want you to listen to what the Lord said to her. The Lord replied to her by saying, Martha, and he called her twice. Be careful when Jesus calls you twice. When the Lord calls you twice, pay attention. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. There is need of only one. Somebody say only one. Please say this with me. Only one. Mary has chosen the good portion, which is to her advantage. And it will not be taken away from her. It will not be taken away from her. Martha, the reason you are full of all of these tormenting emotions, troubled, anxious, worried, offended, upset, is because you have misplaced your priority, the key issue. Thank you, you were listening. To everything in life, there is a key issue. Find the key issue and you will prosper. Oral Roberts used to say, for many years I didn't understand it. For many years I didn't get it. For everything in life, there is a key issue. What is the key issue of salvation? Asking Jesus to come into your life. The key issue is you're developing a strong relationship with Him. Sitting at His feet, listening to Him, talking to Him, fellowshipping with Him, walking with Him. Everything else is important, but they are not the key issue. God didn't need the world saved when He created Adam and Eve. There was no unbeliever in the world. The only person to sing to was the Lord. If He came into that garden and He said, you guys sing, it's for Him, it's for His pleasure. The key issue in our salvation is to walk closely with the Lord every day. Every day. The key issue is not preaching to you. The key issue for me as a Christian is not being able to rattle scriptures off to you, being prepared to rattle off scriptures to you every Sunday or every Wednesday. That's not the key issue. That's important, but it's not the key issue. Jesus is not saying to Martha, why are you wasting your time cooking for me? Don't cook for me. It's not important. He didn't say that. But He says, this is the key issue. This is what will give you an advantage in your walk with God, is your devotion to Him. Your daily walk. Every day, you desire the sincere milk every day, sincere milk of the word every day. You read it, you say, okay, fine, you hear it sometimes. And then you talk to Him, you fellowship with Him, you walk with Him, you interact with Him, you commune with Him. And you remember the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for leading me. Thank you. Lord, please show me how I need to address this situation, this difficult situation that I have at work. I'm depending on you for your wisdom. And as you're going, you start sensing the Holy Spirit saying, you know what? Don't talk to Mary about it. Go talk to Jack about it. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. You know, the key issue is our devotion and our communion with Him. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet? Let's close this out. Father, we thank you today for this service. We bless your name. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, Father, for opening our eyes, teaching us and giving us understanding. Thank you, Father, today for shining your light on the key issue of our relationship with you. What makes us precious in your sight? What is the advantage? What gives us the advantage in life? So that when we pass through the waters, you are there. When we go through the rivers, they don't overwhelm us. When we walk through the fire, we are not burnt. Thank you for helping us see the key issue. It's not whether we sing in church. The key issue is not whether we are the preacher or the pastor. The key issue is not whether we give, what we give, how much we give. No. It is that we allow you to make us. You created us for your glory. You formed us. You fashioned us. And gave us our peculiarities. Then you called us. And when we responded to you, you said, now, let's have fun together. Let's walk together every day. And every day you want us to sit at your feet like Mary did. Every day you want us to share fellowship with you like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. Every day you want us to prioritize our devotion to you, our personal devotion, not our ministry, not our jobs, not our assignments, our families. No, our personal devotion to you is the most important thing, as the key issue. When that lawyer asked you, say, what is the most important commandment? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your might, all your mind, all your strength. Love the Lord your God. That is the key issue. For in doing so, then we give you the liberty and the wherewithal to make us instruments of your glory. It is in gaining the advantage in your presence that we are made into instruments of your glory. It is through the advantage in your presence that a bulwark is built around us. Like the wall of fire you built around Job, where nothing the enemy threw at him could destroy him. They could take something, but they could not take him. And everything that was taken was restored twice. That's what creates a unique place for us in your presence. Lord, how your heart craves and yearns that more and more of your people will come into this revelation. That we will not prioritize the service over you, the Creator. That we will not prioritize our giving over you, the source of all blessings. That we will not get so busy and so preoccupied like Martha that we don't have time or energy for you. We are always so tired when we come in your presence. Because we've used all our energy elsewhere. We've hardly even started talking to you and we started sleeping off. We don't have any consciousness or any energy for our devotion with you. Thank you, Father, for taking us out of that today. Causing your light to shine on the heart of the matter today. I speak the blessing of heaven on everyone listening to the sound of my voice today. Men and women, young people, all over the world, wherever they are today. And your blessing will abide upon their lives, upon their families, upon their homes. That altar where they share fellowship with you, where they interact one-on-one with you regularly, that altar will not be compromised. That the flood or the business of life will not sweep away that altar. The place where they gather to worship you by themselves every day. To talk to you, to hear from you, to worship, to fellowship, to interact, to tell you their heart, hear your own heart. That altar where it happens will not be eroded by the busyness of life in the name of Jesus. Yeah, that's how you make us. That's how you have the ability to make us. So make your people. Establish them. Fulfill your word in their lives. Let the rain of your favor, let it shower down upon them in ways that they have not imagined. We bless your name, Father. We thank you. We give you all the glory. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen.